I have no intention of explaining how the correspondence which I now offer to the public fell into my hands. There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased by both errors and hail a materialist or a magician with the same delight. The sort of script which is used in this book can be very easily obtained by anyone who has once learned the knack, but ill-disposed or excitable people who might make a bad use of it shall not learn it from me. Readers are advised to remember that the devil is a liar. Not everything that Screwtape says should be assumed to be true, even from his own angle. Welcome back to Book Blurbs. This episode, we're looking at something a little different, since at the time of this recording, we are in the season of Advent, which is the liturgical season in the Catholic Church calendar that we use to prepare for Christmas, as well as the second coming of Christ. I wanted to do a little bit of kind of spiritual reading during this season, so I went out and picked up this book, and today we are talking about The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. Many of you, of course, know C.S. Lewis for The Chronicles of Narnia, which are a series of seven fantasy novels written between 1949 and 1954. Clive Staples Lewis was born on November 29th, 1898, in Belfast, Ireland. C.S. Lewis loved to read. Growing up, his father's house was filled with tons of books. He said that finding a book to read was as easy as walking into a field and finding a new blade of grass. I think the most surprising thing I learned while reading a little bit of his biography was that he actually abandoned his childhood Christian faith at the age of 15 and became an atheist when he started viewing his religion as a chore and instead started focusing his attention on mythology and the occult. This kind of blew my mind because C.S. Lewis is known as this great Christian apologist, so I didn't even know this part of his life. Lewis cited his horrific experience fighting in the trenches in World War I with the British Army in France, along with the loss of his mother from cancer in 1908, as the foundation for his atheism. Now, he eventually returned to Christianity after reading George MacDonald and G.K. Chesterton, as well as hearing arguments from his Oxford colleague and Christian friend J.R.R. Tolkien, who, of course, is the author of The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, among other novels. Although C.S. Lewis said he vigorously resisted conversion, coming back into Christianity, quote, kicking, struggling, resentful, and darting his eyes in every direction for a chance to escape. Lewis was unfortunately diagnosed with renal failure and died on November 22nd, 1963, exactly 1 week before his 65th birthday. His death was overshadowed at the time by news of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy and the death of Aldous Huxley, the author of Brave New World, who both died the same day as C.S. Lewis's death. In 2013, on the 50th anniversary of his death, Lewis gained more recognition, the recognition he had probably deserved at the time of his death, when he was introduced into the poet's circle at Westminster Abbey. His floor inscription there reads, quote, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else." Now, getting into the book itself, The Screwtape Letters were originally published in The Guardian every week beginning on May 2nd, 1941, through November 28th, 1941. The book takes the form of 31 letters written by a senior demon named Screwtape to his nephew, Wormwood, a younger and less experienced demon who's been charged with tempting a man called the Patient in the book towards Satan during World War II. Now, this book is a satire because Screwtape is inadvertently giving human spiritual advice. You know, he's writing to try and help Wormwood tempt this man to fall into sin and ultimately be sent to hell. But the letters he leaves behind unintentionally help readers avoid that fate. Now, with the writing process for this book, Lewis often wrote an entire letter in one writing session, one sit-down. He completed all 31 letters in a little over 6 months. During their run in The Guardian, some readers actually didn't realize that the letters were satirical. One angry clergyman, for example, canceled his subscription, writing to the editor that, quote, "Much of the advice given in these letters seems not only erroneous, but positively diabolical." Now, Lewis actually didn't enjoy writing the Screwtape letters. In a 1963 interview, he said, quote, "Of all my books, there was only one I did not take pleasure in writing." He went on to say, quote, "It was dry and gritty going. At the time, I was thinking of objections to the Christian life and decided to put them in the form of 'That's what the devil would say.' But making goods bad and bads good gets to be fatiguing." So he really didn't enjoy the whole process of writing this book, and he openly admitted that it's one of his least favorite books out there. Now, the funny thing is, he dedicated the paperback copies once they went into book form out of the Guardian publication to Tolkien, and Tolkien wasn't all that happy about it because he knew that Lewis didn't really value this book and wouldn't put it up there with some of his other works. So that's an interesting little tidbit. And actually, for a while, Lewis considered writing a companion novel from an angel's perspective, detailing an archangel's advice to the patient's guardian angel, but C.S. Lewis's standards were too high, saying that, quote, "every sentence would have to smell of heaven." The 31 Screwtape letters discuss all sorts of temptations regarding love, pride, gluttony, war, all sorts of things, among other virtues and vices. There's this argument of mere Christianity, just focusing on the virtues, being closer to God, you know, doing what's right, versus Christianity and ... So, for example, Christianity and war, or Christianity and politics, versus that mere Christianity. So, all sorts of topics scattered throughout these 31 letters that Screwtape writes to Wormwood about to try and help him with his patient. But for now, I just want to read out a couple of quotes that really stuck out to me when I was reading. And this first one comes from the 27th letter, and it's the Heads-Tails Conundrum. So I'll go ahead and read it here. This is Screwtape writing to Wormwood, and he says, "Don't forget to use the heads I win, tails you lose argument. If the thing he prays for doesn't happen, then that is one more proof that petitionary prayers don't work. If it does happen, he will, of course, be able to see some of the physical causes which led up to it, and therefore it would have happened anyway, and thus a granted prayer becomes just as good a proof as a denied one that prayers are ineffective." I love that quote. It's just so true, isn't it? For those of you who have prayed before, you've probably experienced this in your prayer life. You pray asking God for something, and you're left waiting for the results. Sometimes you worry that he just won't even answer that prayer. And it's important to keep in mind that it will be answered on his time and not always our time. And so this next quote that I pulled out is, just for your context, whenever Screwtape is saying he or him, he's talking about God. So here goes the second quote. Hence, the prayers offered in the state of dryness are those which please him best. We can drag our patients along by continual tempting because we design them only for the table, and the more their will is interfered with, the better. He cannot tempt to virtue as we do to vice. He wants them to learn to walk and must therefore take away his hand, and if only the will to walk is really there, he is pleased even with their stumbles. Do not be deceived, Wormwood. Our cause is never more in danger than when a human, no longer desiring, but still intending, to do our enemy's will, looks round upon a universe from which every trace of him seems to have vanished, and asks why he has been forsaken, and still obeys. Again, I love this quote too. It's that image of a compassionate God who, as long as we have the will to walk, is pleased even when we stumble. And the end of that quote talks about when we're forsaken and still obey, with the ultimate example being, of course, Jesus, you know, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And sacrificing himself upon the cross. And then that's the culmination of salvation history with the resurrection 3 days later. So another great quote there. That'll lead us into the break here. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the differences between Wormwood and Screwtape. And we'll look at a few more quotes and discuss them more in depth. So see you after the break. Welcome back to this episode of Book Blurbs. Today we're talking about C.S. Lewis's novel, The Screwtape Letters. Now, we get all of the book through Screwtape's writings, so we don't get any kind of indication of the language or messages that Wormwood's sending. We just have to interpret the messages he's sending Screwtape through Screwtape's responses. But we can still see a clear contrast between Screwtape and Wormwood. Screwtape depicts Wormwood in his letters as anxious to tempt his patient into sin recklessly, while Screwtape, on the other hand, takes a more subtle approach. And you can most clearly see this written out in the 12th letter, where it says, "The safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts." So Screwtape is arguing for this moderate, gradual approach to sin, whereas Wormwood is kind of entrapped in the luster of the war, World War II, all the violence and destruction that is going on, and just wants to recklessly throw the patient into sin. And that's at odds with Screwtape's approach. And Screwtape, of course, believes he's correct in his approach because he's more experienced and he's the elder demon in this situation. So that's a really interesting contrast between our two demons there and how they approach their work. And now the next quote that I've pulled out here comes from the second letter, and I'll issue a very light spoiler warning. Considering it comes from pretty much the second chapter of the book, I don't think you really have anything to worry about, but 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Spoiler, the Christian converts to, I spoiled it right there with how I said it. The patient converts to Christianity in the second letter, as we learn. And so Screwtape is writing to Wormwood to try and counsel him on what to do about this. And the quote here says, "Work hard then on the disappointment or anticlimax which is certainly coming to the patient during his first few weeks as a churchman. In every department of life, it marks the transition from dreaming aspiration to laborious doing." Now, I think in this quote, Lewis is arguing that disappointment should not be taken as a sign that one has made a poor decision or a bad resolution. Screwtape is insisting in this writing of the letter that this kind of disappointment exists in every department of life. And so Lewis is saying that disappointment should be interpreted as a sign that one has made a positive resolution, and use it as a reminder to get started on the hard work or laborious doing that's needed to turn an idea for change into reality. So essentially, being a Christian is not just a dreaming aspiration or an idle thought. It's a daily call to discipleship. And finally, our last quote from this episode comes from the seventh letter, in which Screwtape says, quote, "All extremes, except extreme devotion to the enemy, are to be encouraged." Now, in the midst of World War II, Screwtape is advising Wormwood to push the patient to extreme patriotism or extreme pacifism. In short, extremity itself is destabilizing. We, of course, can relate today to extremities with what we see in politics, right? So Lewis is arguing that when humans are unstable, they are more likely to stumble into sin. He emphasizes here that we should focus our efforts on moderation over excitement and perpetual euphoria. As you can see from all the quotes we've discussed on this episode, lots of sage, wise advice to be pulled out of the Screwtape letters for your spiritual journey and prayer life. So let's jump into my rating of the Screwtape letters by C.S. Lewis. Man, I struggled with this rating. I was going back and forth. I'm kind of still going back and forth as I talk to you now. I'll tell you what I'm seesawing between. I am kind of between library and buy. And for those of you that are new to the podcast, from best to worst, my rating goes from bookshelf worthy, buy, library, spark notes, and pass. So it's kind of between that middle and kind of second to the top tier right now. So let me talk you through what I'm thinking. I read this book probably in a way it's not supposed to be read. I read it like a traditional book, like you would approach a traditional book. I just read it from cover to cover in a few sittings. And I don't think that's how the Screwtape letters are meant to be read. And even if they were intended to be read that way by C.S. Lewis, I would caution you to approach it from a different angle. I think you can get more out of the Screwtape letters by reading just one or two in a sitting. Don't try and rush through it. Give yourself time to absorb what you've just read and reflect on the materials and the subject of each letter. Really think about it and dive into it, because there's so much more you can gain from it by spending that time with what you've just read. So I think I kind of robbed myself of that experience with the Screwtape letters by just reading it like I normally read any other book. And actually, I just discovered this after I read the book itself. I have the paperback copy right here in front of me. But an interesting avenue you might want to pursue in tackling this book is the brilliant, wonderful audio version read by John Cleese, who narrates the book as Screwtape. I listened to a few minutes of it tonight, and his narration is absolutely wonderful. There's emotion in his voice, and he really gets into the character of Screwtape, and it becomes so much more than just a written letter. It becomes a living thing when he's reading it. So actually, I might just really advise you to go check that out. A lot of it's on YouTube. I don't know if some parts are cut out just for copyright reasons to preserve it on YouTube. But worth looking into on there. And if not, you can always probably find it on Audible or something like that. So you might get a better experience reading or listening to, rather, the Audible version of the audiobook version of the Screwtape Letters instead of, you know, a hard copy like the paperback version here. So, enough stalling. Just where I am right now with my thinking, ask me again in a few days. It could probably change, but right now, at this moment, I'm going to give the Screwtape Letters the rating of library. It is definitely a valuable book. There's so much to learn from it. Like I said, C.S. Lewis has a lot of practical advice and wisdom to impart on you through these letters. And the satirical nature of it is just brilliant. And there's been so many different spin-offs and parodies of it. So it's very influential. The thing is, I just can't see myself reading it again very soon. I think it's something I'll come back to and want to revisit later in life. But right now, I just couldn't give it any space on my bookshelf. That's valuable real estate, even though it is a small book. Even with the addition of Screwtape Proposes a Toast, my paperback version is about 170 pages, so no big deal there. But like I said, I'm teetering between buy because, you know, it's worth taking your time on. And then, of course, it would be a good gift to give someone who's spiritual or a Christian. There's some really good material to read through here, and it presents it in a different way than what you might find in traditional scripture. So for now, I give it the rating of library for the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. Well, folks, that will do it for this week's episode of Book Blurbs. I've been your host, Kenneth. And as we approach the end of 2019, you know, I've been doing this for a couple of months now, and I've still really enjoyed doing this podcast. I'm excited for the new year and some plans I have for it and when I'm going to be reading for it, and some exciting new equipment and things like that to help with the production of the podcast. Look forward to bringing on some new guests that you haven't heard before to discuss some literature with us. So I just want to thank you for supporting me and listening to the podcast. But we still got a few more weeks left in 2019, and I'm going to try and push out a few more episodes before the year comes to a close. We've got Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker coming out, so I've got this supplementary novel, kind of like a prequel to the film, that I'm reading right now. So hopefully I can finish that before the film comes out and I see it on the premiere day, and we'll talk about that, as well as maybe a couple more short stories and possibly one more book if I can fit it in. Thanks for listening to this episode of Book Blurbs. Follow me on social media at BookBlurbs19 on Facebook and Twitter. Send me an email at BookBlurbs19@gmail.com. And go to anchor.fm/BookBlurbs to record a voice message that I can use in future episodes. You can talk about a book I reviewed in a previous episode or share your excitement or recommendations for books that are coming out. I'd love to include you and make you a part of the show. Thanks again for listening. My name is Kenneth. I'm your host, and I hope you can join me for the next episode of Book Blurbs.